We're starting a new set of lessons that's going to go for the next couple of months, that you were made for more. We've been working on us. We've been working on Sunday mornings and the adult Sunday school class. We've been working on us, changing us. And I believe now God wants us to take what we've been working on and come to the realization that we are ready for His purpose and ready to do what God desires to do in our lives. Amen? It says in John 17 and 18, it says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint us and use us for the glory of your kingdom, that you would challenge us, that you would speak to us this morning in the adult Sunday school class, oh God, that your will and your way would be done in our lives. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Got a good report. Sister Jamie went in and had a bunch of tests yesterday, and they allowed her to go back home. So if we can keep doing this for about another 17 more days, we'll be good in Jesus' name. So y'all keep praying for Sister Jamie and Brother Shane. I asked her how she was enjoying her newfound freedom after getting out of the hospital. And she says, I'm glad to be out of there, she says, but Shane and my mom might be worse than the nurses, she said. But every person in this room understands, regardless of your station in life, that God has given you potential to do something more than what we are doing right now. That if we come to the reality and to the grips of who we really are in Christ Jesus, there isn't one person, no, not one in this room, that can fully say that we have arrived and we are everything that we should be and need to be, and that God doesn't need any, we're just perfect. If you have that problem, then you might need to find an altar, because you have a whole new set of problems. And every one of us understands that there we have not arrived. We're aware that God has created us for more. More faithfulness, more fruitfulness, more holiness, to be more like Him, less guilt in our lives, fewer regrets, that there are things that we can change in our lives that would create us and put us in a position to be more used of Him. For a lot of us, we're not used of Him because of condemnation. We're not used of Him because of intimidation, of things that we just don't believe that we have everything that we need to be used of God. The problem is that when Paul begins to write, he doesn't write to him in Ephesians and say that you need to pray for revival. He talks to him that you need to have the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart open to understand that you have everything that you need right now to have every promise that God has for your life. That you've got to understand that if I can just open the eyes of my heart, if I can open the eyes of my understanding and see that God has filled me full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that's all I need. If I'll let God work and move in my life, and I'll stay faithful and I'll stay humble and I'll keep coming to church and I'll keep finding a place to get right with Him, that you've got to understand that you are already anointed and called of God. We have the potential to grow and to become more like Christ. It is our responsibility to keep growing. It is our responsibility to keep seeking after Him. There's no graduation service in spiritual growth. There's not a Sunday that will bring you in and say, we want to honor you this Sunday because that you have made it to the top. You're everything. You're perfect. It is a constant motion. It is a constant trying to motivate ourselves. It is a constant making up our minds every day that I'm going to live for God. It's going to prayer and getting a purpose in our minds of what I'm here to do today. What is it that God desires for me to accomplish in this prayer meeting? That motivating ourselves, that we have to be self-motivated in our walk with God. you know what, well, if this one would pass, call me enough, if this one would shake my hand enough, if pastor would spend this much amount of time with me, if all of these things would happen, then I think I could live for God. Somewhere along the way, I've just got to be self-motivated. I've just got to make up my mind that whether I get one phone call this week or not, I'm going to live for God. Whether I show up to church and it's just me and four people or 140 people, I'm going to live for God. That it's just something about it that we have to be self-motivated in our relationship with God. The people that succeed in this world are people that can self-motivate themselves, that they can reach into the depths of their soul and find something to get a hold of that says, I want to be better, I want to do more, I want to be more, I'm not satisfied with what I am. We've got to understand that we've got to go further. We have to go deeper. And our desire is determined by how far we go and how deep we go in Him. It's Romans 9:1 that he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is Paul writing. He's got a burden for lost people. If there was something else that I could do, if there is something that if I could be accursed, if there was something that was going on that I could change, that if I could literally pick you up and change you and do something that would affect your life and change your life, that's what I would do. He had a burden that when he was whipped, he would get back up. He had a burden in his life that when he was stoned, he would get back up. He had a burden that even when he was shipwrecked, when he was lost in the deep, that there was something inside of him that kept causing the Apostle Paul to get back to his feet, that kept causing him to go back to the pulpit, that kept causing him to go into the homes and to sit down and begin to talk to people about Jesus Christ. It was this burden that was placed upon him. It was this burden that God put inside of his heart. Every person in this room has a burden. Every person in this room, God has something specific for your life. He has something awesome and wonderful for you, that there is a burden that he has placed upon each and every one of us to do and to fulfill something that our lives can do. God's never called us to do anything that we cannot do. He's never called us to do something that is beyond our reach. If he's placed a burden on your heart, it's for a reason. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That this burden, this love that he has for Jesus, it's what keeps him. It's what keeps him going. It's what constraineth him. That I can't go out and do that because I've got too much purpose on my life. I can't go out and be with this group of people because I'm constrained by the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ because of the love and the burden that I have obtained of him. We've got to understand that a lot of times we get worried. Well, you know, if I do this, then man, it's going to take away from this. And if I do that, then I'm going to be too busy for this. And if I go here, then it's going to affect this. And we start trying to figure out the path of least resistance. That's what we're always looking for, the path of least resistance. If you put in your GPS this afternoon and you want to drive to Jackson, Tennessee, and you type it in, it's going to take you the path of least resistance. It's not going to take you through people's backyards. It's not going to take you down alleyways. It's not going to take you across different areas. It's going to take you all the way around. It's going to make sure that there's going to be gas stations for you. It's going to make sure that everything's going to be perfect, and it's going to be the easiest journey that you could possibly take from here to Jackson, Tennessee. It might not be the shortest. It might not be the best. It's not going to be the fastest, but it will be the easiest, and it will put you by more. It will make sure that you stay on main roads, on interstates, the biggest highways that it can find. And as people, we do the same thing. If I can find the path of least resistance for my life, If I can find the path that things will be the simplest, if I can eliminate things out of my life, then things will be easier. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong that now, with all of the technology that we have, you would think that life would be easier. You would think that we would be less busy. You would think that we would have a better handle on our time management. But with all of the technology that we have, we're busier today than we've ever been in our lives. So there's nothing wrong with taking things out of our lives to try to simplify our lives. But the things that most of us take out of our lives or remove or try to take away are the things that cause us the most discomfort in our relationship with Him. The things that, I've got time to do this today, but I don't have time to pray today. Or I've got time to go here today, but I don't have time to read my word. And so we'll remove the things that we can put off till tomorrow. That's the deal, that we think that this relationship that we have with Jesus can keep being put off till tomorrow. The problem is we keep putting it off so long that we end up lost and distracted and confused and deceived because we just keep putting it off till tomorrow. The most important thing that I have to do in my life is to be saved. And if I'm going to be saved and walked on streets of gold, then that means that I've got to focus on my relationship with Him. This isn't something that I can put off till tomorrow. This is something that I've got to work on today. This isn't something that I can put off till next week or next month. It's something that I've got to start working on today. Well, I don't know how to pray. Get in there and just start praying. Just start talking to Him. He's not looking for a powerful prayer warrior. He's not looking for somebody that can quote poems and quote hundreds of scripture. He just wants somebody that will sit down and talk to Him. Think about it. If you just begin to take time out of your day and sit down and spend time with Him, what percentage of the universe would you be in now? If we were going to be honest, you would be in a very small percentage of the universe. People that stop and begin to take time and say, God, I just want to be with You. I want to spend time with You. I want to be close to You. Oh, you have just now stepped out of the masses and you have put yourself in a whole different demographic that says, you know what? Hey, I'm not going to be like all of these other people. I want to be one of the chosen few. I want to spend time with Him. I want Him to know that I love Him with every fiber of my being. I want Him to know that He's important enough in my life that I'll take time out of my busy schedule to spend time with Him. I believe you say the guy's name, Pilsel. His name was Samuel, and he was a part of the Merchant Shipping Act of 1876. He was the one that came up with the idea that all of the ships in Britain had to have a line, a mark on them that was marked on that ship by the weight that was placed inside of that ship. So that as they toured the shipyards, before that ship could leave out to sea, that mark had to be above the water. They had to be able to see that mark on the ship, because if it was below that mark, that ship was in danger. That ship was put into a position and a place that it could probably, if it encountered a storm or large waves. We just read the story of this cruise ship that went out in the middle of this storm, and for almost an hour that ship was set on its side at a 45 degree angle or something. The people, when they were coming off the ship, they were screaming and hollering and happy just to be alive. And so they set this mark to make sure that the ships weren't overloaded. And so we do that in our lives. You know, I don't want to be overloaded. I don't want to but get too much on me that I can bear. And the problem is we put so much stuff on ourselves that God wants to give us a burden. God wants to use us for the glory of His kingdom. But He can't give me anything because He's already promised me He's not going to put anything more on me than what I can bear. He's already promised me that He's not going to give me anything that I can't prosper and be victorious with. And if I have all of this other junk in my life, He's saying, I've got so much more for you, but I can't give it to you because it's going to overload your wheelbarrow. Somewhere we've got to pull those things out of our life. Somewhere we've got to take things out of our life. We get a burden and God begins to deal with us about something. You see, you've got to understand that a burden is the first part of ministry. That a burden is the first part of where God begins to deal with you about doing something for the kingdom of God. And you might not even know what it is yet. You might not even fully understand it. All you know is there's something inside of you that wants to get involved, that wants to do something, that wants to be a part of something. A lot of us, we want that writing on the wall. We want that burning bush experience. But Paul was the only person in the New Testament that had an experience quite like that. And I pray to the good Lord that I never get so cold and hard that he's got a blind me and knock me off of a donkey and holler and scream at me to get my attention. I want to be able to hear his still small voice. I want him to be able to speak into my life and, yes, Lord, thy servant heareth. I want him to be able to, all of the young men that you find, all of the old men, everybody in the Bible, in the New Testament that's used of God are people that just get involved in the kingdom of God. Timothy, what did he do? He just got involved in the kingdom of God. John Mark just got involved at the church. His grandma's the pastor. He got involved. He's clean and just being involved. There was a hunger and a desire inside of him that drove him. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what God was calling him to do at that moment. He thought, well, I'm called to preach. And he goes with Paul and he quits and he comes home. And then he wants to preach again. And Paul calls him a loser and says, I don't want anything to do with you. But there was a burden inside of him that had already been stirred up, that it didn't matter what anybody else said or thought to him. He was hungry for the things of God. But as soon as that burden begins to stir up inside of us, that's when intimidation shows up. That's when our own nasty flesh and everything in the room begins to say, you know, you're really not qualified to do this. You're really not qualified to, it just isn't. I was at a church and I was leading service, and I am not a singer. I when it comes to singing, I'm at the equivalent of a 13-year-old still going through puberty. I can't keep a note. My voice cracks. I just can't do it. It's not my gifting. And so I've been accused of my belly button singing, because I'll have it down here and just singing away. But I'm going to make sure that they're not going to be hearing me. And one Sunday I got all excited and I was singing. And after church, this little fella came up to me and he was real spiritual type. And he came to me and said, you know, he said, I went and listened to you. You know, I found where I could really hear you. And he says, you're not really a very good singer. You know, I'm standing in church, man. I felt the temperature rising. And I, man, I'll lay you out. I'll show you what I am good at. And so we get intimidated. We allow people's opinions. We allow what people think. We allow what others do. We allow what even in our own mind. That's where the biggest war is that we're intimidated by our own selves, that we can't measure up and be what it is that God, the one that knows everything, the one that knows everything about you, the one that knows every one of your faults and knows every one of your weaknesses, and he's the one that's placed this burden inside of you. And now we're questioning him. God, I just want to let you know, you're really awesome, and you're awesome enough to do it for Brother Tim, but you are not awesome enough to do it for me. I'll tell you that right now. You are not capable of fixing all of this to be used for the glory. That's what we're telling God when he begins to give us a burden and begins to desire to use us. And he begins to lay something on our heart and we're like, no, I don't think it can happen. I just don't think you can do it in my life. I just don't think that, you know, that it's just something that you can do. And I'm not talking about a pulpit ministry. I'm not talking about just getting up and preaching. I'm talking about God dealing with you about being involved in a Sunday school class, with being involved just singing in the choir, being involved in prayer, being involved in some type of ministry. I've seen people that God's even begin to deal with them about starting a business and being used of God, that God had plans for them in the business world, and they're too intimidated. It didn't even have anything to do with telling people about God. It was just doing what they were already capable of doing. But it's just intimidation that says that you can't do it. You're not worthy. Are you forgetting how incapable that you are? Are you're just going to fail? You're unqualified. Where do you think you came from? You don't have the right pedigree. You don't have the right talents. That there are better people than you that have gone before you that have failed. Has the devil ever told you that? There are better people than you that have failed trying to do this exact same thing. On one hand, we have a genuine call on our life, a real burden to do more, reach more, and to be more. And on the other hand, we have a burdens, dirty, lazy roommate intimidating us, making sure that we fully understand that we're not everything that we should be and can be, and that there's no possible way that we're ever going to be what God wants us to be. And we've got all of this going on in the same head. We've got God saying, I want to give you a burden, I want to use you. And then we've got this old, dirty, nasty, lazy roommate over here saying, nope, that's all you're ever going to be. This is good as it gets. You'd be lucky if you even make it to heaven. God didn't want us to just be lucky to make it to heaven. He wanted us to be victorious on our way. He didn't want us to just slide under the pearly gates. He wanted us to take some folks with us. He wanted our families to make it and our friends to make it. And people in our community to make it. That it's not just something we're sneaking through life with, but we have called to be victorious in the kingdom of God. You must realize that God knows everything. He has all complete knowledge of who you are, and He still chooses to call you to a higher purpose in spite of all your flaws. Because it's in Romans 8 and 30 that says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What are you saying? He's saying, I've predestinated you, and if I've predestinated you, I've called you, and if I've called you, I'm going to justify you, and if I'm going to justify you, I'm going to glorify you. See, that's what you've got to understand. He's already got a plan for your life. He's already got something awesome and a purpose. He's already predestinated it, and if you'll let Him, He'll call you, and if you'll let that call come to fruition, He'll justify you. What do you mean He'll justify you? You don't understand. Everybody in this church knows my faults, and God says, you don't understand. I can take you from the miry clay. I can take you from a place that people look at you and say He'll never be used, to a place that they say, I wish I had the relationship with Jesus that they have. And if He justifies, He will glorify. What shall we then say to these things? This is verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If He wants to call me, if He wants to predestinate me, if He wants to justify me, and if He so desires to glorify this old nasty flesh that we wear, if God be for us, who can be against us? There's not a devil in hell. There's not anything on this earth that can stop us from being what God wants us to be. You know what your greatest enemy is, though? Us. Satan can't stop us. He has no power over us. He can't do anything unless he goes and begs for permission. He has no control over anything that's going on. You've got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. It's us that stops us from being what God wants us to be. We intimidate ourselves. We're the one that looks in the mirror and says, no, not today, fella, sorry, maybe tomorrow. Not this week, maybe next week. You know, that we just don't have what it takes. We just, our old nasty pride. Oh, I don't worship because of my pride. No, you don't. I don't worship because it's just not what I do. It's your pride. You're worried about what everybody else is going to think. I don't teach Bible studies because it's just not. No, you're afraid you're going to say something wrong, and you might look dumb, and you don't want to do that. I don't want to get up and be involved. Our pride gets in the way of us being the biggest, the most awesome thing that God wants us to be, because somewhere along the way, this old nasty flesh is worried about what it looks like. is worried about what it feels like. It doesn't like being uncomfortable. It doesn't like being made to come into the presence of God. It doesn't like being forced into a prayer meeting for over an hour. It doesn't like you making it do things that it's not comfortable with doing. No issues of your past or present has the ability to render you ineffective to the call of God, which He has placed this burden in your heart. The only real enemy is our own doubts and our lack of understanding about the burden that God has called us to. I remember when God began to call me to preach. I didn't want to be a preacher. My great-granddad was a preacher. My granddad was a preacher. My dad's a preacher. And the last thing I wanted to be was a preacher. They'd say, "You're going to grow up and be a preacher." And I'd say, "Well, let's go outside and talk about it." Because that's the last on my list of things to do. It would make me mad when they told me you were going to be a preacher. I had my life planned out. I had it all figured out. I knew what I was going to do. I knew the college I was going to, had jobs set up, roommates, everything was set to go. And I was moving out. I was going to be my own man. And I remember sitting in, because of the times, about the same place that y'all sat when we were there last month. And Brother Jeff Arnold preached a sermon about the seasons of life. And I remember sitting in that church service. I was backslid. I was lost. I was a mess. And I was sitting in that church service. And as I sat there, tears began to roll down my face. And I began to weep uncontrollably as I found myself buried down underneath those chairs, those metal fold-out chairs at that time. And I got down underneath there and I wept and I cried. And when I got up, I felt a burden and a call to do something more in my life. I felt a burden and a call that God wanted to do something more supernatural in my life. I couldn't explain it. I didn't go home and just do it. It wasn't long after that I went on a trip. And on that trip, God began to deal with me again. I went and tried Bible school for a little while. It wasn't for me. They were too good. And I just wasn't my cup of tea. So I went and did something else. And I was going to college and kind of involved in the church. And I remember a church service. And it was over the course of three major experiences in my life that God really hammered into my life that I've got a call of God upon your life and I've called you to preach. And I remember the night that I finally came to the realization, all right, God, I'll do whatever you've called me to do, God. I'll step out and be whatever you want me to be. Not when I'm ready, but when you're ready. See, that's our problem. It's always when we're ready, when I get over this, when I fix this, when I change that, when I get rid of this, and we just keep putting it off till tomorrow, and we just keep putting it off till tomorrow. And the deal is we've just got to come to God with all of our junk and all of our stuff and say, here it is, Jesus, do whatever you want to do with it. God, use me for the glory of your kingdom. If you can use this, use it in Jesus' name. The moment that I agreed to be used of God, a little church opened up in Pecos, Texas, and I preached about it one time. That next Wednesday, I was over there preaching to them poor, poor, poor people. I didn't know if I was in church or out of church. I didn't know if I was really living for God real good or not. I couldn't quote you too many scriptures. I never preached a day in my life. But God said, hey, I placed a burden in your life, and you need to step out and do something about it. You see, somewhere along the way, you've just got to make up your mind. It's not about him. It's not about you. It's about him. It's not about my ability. It's about my availability. It's not about how awesome I am, because as long as it's all about my awesomeness, he can't do anything with me. I know people that are so talented, have so much ability. They've got more talent in their pinky than I do. But they're too talented to be used of God. Somewhere along the way, you just got to make up your mind. You know what, God? I'm going to answer the burden that you've placed on my heart. God didn't call you to do something that you can't do. He called you to do something that you can do. He didn't call you to do something that is beyond your ability. He called you to do something that is in the very realm of what you can be doing in the next several weeks and months of your life. He's not putting a burden on you for something that's 20 and 30 years down the road. He's putting a burden on you as something that you can begin to work on and begin to cultivate and begin to do right now. You're not worthy. God will make me worthy. You're forgetting how incapable you are. No, but God is capable of doing it through me. You're just going to fail. No, I'm holding God's hand, and He will never let me fail. You do not have the qualifications to do that. God is looking at my potential, not my qualifications. Do you forget where you came from? You do not have the pedigree. You don't have the background. God's more interested in where I'm going rather than where I have been and where I have come from. I've got to just understand that if God has placed a burden and a hunger inside of my soul and my spirit, it's not because He's waiting for me to fall. It's because He has something awesome and wonderful for my life that He's placed upon my life that I can accomplish. God trusts you enough to believe in your potential. And we should trust Him enough to believe that this burden has a divine purpose. God trusts you enough to appeal to the depths of your heart. And we should trust Him enough to believe that God is calling us to a task that is larger than us. Can't do it. Yes, you can. I don't have the ability. Why would He be messing with you about it if you didn't have the ability? You think God's just wanting to mess you up and do something, get you to do something so He can sit back and laugh and get all the angels together around and say, oh, look at them. Nope. He called you because He believes in you. He called you because He has great purpose and power for your life. He called you because He believes in the ability that is already within you. And if you'll let Him, He's not worried about where you've been. He's worried about where you're going. He's not worried about your pedigree or where you come from. He's worried about where how you've positioned yourself for your future and your potential for your future. Well, I just don't have it. That's a lie. Quit lying to yourself. Quit looking at the watermark and saying, nah, can't do it. That's just going to overload me. Can't do it. I don't have the ability to do that. Can't do it. I can't. You know what you can do? You can't take some stuff out of your life. Start working on your prayer life. Start working and getting into the Word of God. Start reading something about what this burden is that you're feeling. Start getting involved with this burden that you're feeling. And before long, all of a sudden you're saying, my goodness, I can do this. I can be a part of this. God can really use me for the glory of His kingdom. Lord Jesus, You see every person in this room. God, we're not satisfied with just being good, but we want to be godly. And we're not just satisfied with being godly, we want to be used of You at the same time. God, we don't want to be frustrated with our lives and frustrated with where we are and frustrated with what's going on. God, we want to be in Your divine purpose and will for our lives. Lord, I pray this morning, oh God, that we would take hold of that burden that You have placed inside of us, oh God. For a burden will take us beyond the places that we can go all by ourselves. A burden will drive us to places in prayer that we cannot go all by ourselves. It'll cause us to change. It'll take us to deeper depths in You. Lord, that we would take hold of this burden that You've already placed in our hearts, oh God. And that You would use us for the glory of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I asked Mark Morgan one day, I said, how in the world did you stay in Okmulgee, Oklahoma for 10 years? I don't know if you've ever been to Okmulgee, Oklahoma, but there's no reason to go. And he looked at me and he said, when God gives you a burden, it'll cover up a lot of stuff. And it'll take you and keep you places you never thought you could ever go. And we're so afraid of that burden because we're not sure if we can handle it. But that burden is the very thing that's going to save you, change you, help your family make it to heaven, and take you to the depths of Him that you never thought that you could ever go. But you've got to grab a hold of it. And you've got to let it take you to places that you could never go all by yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not sure if it's from God. Your old, dirty, nasty flesh is never going to challenge you to be better than what you are. It might be the devil. It is not the devil trying to get you to be better in Christ Jesus. It's God. It's just my old pride. It just wants to be the limelight. It just wants to be, get over yourself. Get in a prayer room and say, God, if it's my pride, take it out of me. God, I want it to be all about you. Help me to decrease so that you can increase. God, help me to get to a place that you can use me in the purity of your calling and your anointing for the glory of your kingdom. Take hold of that burden and let God do something powerful in your life. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at that. I'm right on time. There is a God. Hallelujah. We're going to take a few minutes break. Let's shake hands, be friendly, and we'll be back in here, and we're going to have an awesome move of God this afternoon.